As the song goes, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. There is snow outside on the ground, and there are decorations everywhere, even here in church. People are listening to Christmas music on the radio, and they're buying presents. Everyone is looking forward to the day. And especially we as Christians, we are also looking forward to Christmas because we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's why we say things like, Jesus is the reason for the season, or keep Christ in Christmas. We want to focus on what he has done for us. So it might seem a little bit odd then, or a little bit jarring, for Paul to talk about God's wrath in our epistle lesson for today. Why are we talking about wrath and judgment as we prepare to celebrate Christmas? I get that it's not easy to talk about. There are even churches who struggle with it. You may know the song In Christ Alone. It's a good song. But did you know that it once sparked controversy? Because one line in particular caused a disagreement about whether it's something we should say. That line was, "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." And the Presbyterian Church USA, back in 2013, as they were compiling their new hymnal, wanted to change that line to this: "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified." And I don't want to go into detail about the whole debate, but it's enough to point out that there was a desire to change wrath to love and to focus on that instead. And this is often the case when people are uncomfortable with talking about the wrath of God. Well, why not be more positive, they say. I mean, love, forgiveness, all of those kinds of things, those are positive. People might even be willing to listen to that. That might be something that they would listen to so that they would come and be Christians. I mean, wrath and judgment, talk about it if you have to, but focus on the gospel more. That's the way to attract people. That's the way that we should go. And I get where they're coming from. I really do. But it's critical for us to understand the wrath of God. We must begin here. Because the gospel will not make sense to us until we understand why God is angry against sin. Or to put it a different way, Christmas will not make sense if we do not see why Jesus had to be born. We will not understand why he came into the world if we don't see why we needed him in the first place. And so Paul shows us why. He says in verse 18 of our reading, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Of course, the first thing that we should notice here is that God's wrath is not the same as just being angry, as if God's anger and human anger were one and the same thing. No, human anger is often sinful. Men get angry for all kinds of sinful reasons, and it leads them to do things they later regret, the kinds of things they need to be forgiven for, because they're totally out of control. God is not raging out of control. God's anger against sin is just and righteous, because God is perfectly just and righteous and holy. Everything that he does is good. But sin is just the opposite. Sin not only goes against what God wants us to do, but it's something destructive. It tears God's creation apart. And God sees how it's tearing apart all that is good, and it moves him to do something about it. I mean, we might feel a similar kind of wrath whenever we see something evil in the world, something that should not be happening. We want to do something about it. We want to change it so that it is dealt with once and for all. Our justice may be broken or off, but God's justice is perfect. And if God saw that evil and did nothing about it, then he would not be just and good and holy. He would be something less than what he is. And that just can't happen. God has to do something about evil. And that is why he is moved to holy wrath. But if that's the case, we ask, then why do people get upset talking about God's wrath? I mean, it's a good thing to deal with evil, right? We want that to happen. We want the world to be made right. Well, the problem, Christians, is that the evil that Paul is talking about is not just somewhere out there where all of those bad people in the world, that they're the ones that God's going to show his wrath against. It also includes us. We have not done what we should have done. And therefore, we stand accused before God. God is justly angry with you and with me. And that's what our sinful heart doesn't want to accept. Our sinful heart refuses to admit that it has done anything wrong. It comes up with excuse after excuse to show why what we did was actually a good thing. Or at least we were justified in doing it. It's what Paul calls suppressing the truth. We know that we have to answer to God. We know we are responsible to him, but we refuse to admit it. That's why people want to talk about God's love instead. Because love sounds so positive, doesn't it? When you hear things like love wins, or don't hate one another, or even God loves you just the way that you are. All of that sounds so good. All of that sounds so easy to accept. But God does not love us the way that we are with no change whatsoever. Our sin has ruined everything. We are not the good people we thought we were. And we must finally answer to God for all that we have done. Our heart doesn't want to be held accountable. It would rather hold on to that sin instead, rather than face the reality and face our inability to do anything about it. I want to use one example here, a very common way that the world today suppresses the truth. Many out there have what I would call a victim mindset. I'm a victim. I was forced to do this. And therefore, someone else did something evil to me. I'm not the guilty one. They are. This is the kind of thinking where people will say that criminals aren't really guilty because the educational system failed them. Or they will say that they're living in poverty, so they were forced to do what they had to do just to survive. It's the kind of mentality that will say rioters are not guilty for destruction and looting because they're just airing out their frustrations with the system. They're just expressing themselves in this way. And people often will talk about oppression, that there are oppressors who force us to do things or who take things away. And that is what they say is wrong with the world. And the only way to fix it is to get rid of the oppressors, to break the system, to stop the oppression, to smash the patriarchy, whatever the term may be. Once that happens, things will be good. But the one who's oppressed, they say, did nothing wrong. It's all someone else's fault. Sin is what someone else did to me. And even if I do something bad, it's not wrong because I'm the victim. But Paul shows us that this is not true, Christians. We all stand guilty before God for the things that we have done. Even if I'm living in a bad situation caused by the sin of another, that does not mean that I am somehow innocent. I too must answer to God. I too must stand trial for all that I have said and done. My own sins, and sins they are, means that God is rightly angry with me. Even if I try to fix it on my own, I would fail, because everything I do is tainted by sin. It's like trying to pay off one credit card with another, even as you continue to recklessly spend. It's not going to do anything. It's just moving the debt around and adding more to it besides. So on my own, there's nothing I can do. I am responsible. I must answer to the wrath of God. But now do you see why, Christians? All of this leads us to see why Jesus is the reason for the season. This is why Jesus came into the world, to deliver us from his own wrath against sin. Because God has to do something about sin. He can't just ignore it, or he would not be God. And so Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary to take our place, to become one of us. And through his perfect life, obedience, and death, he has satisfied the wrath of God. Our debt has been paid. God did what needed to be done about sin. And he also showed mercy to those who had sinned, taking away our guilt and reconciling us to himself, so that all who believe will escape the wrath to come. Jesus was born at Bethlehem to become our Savior, delivering us from the judgment we so richly deserved. So that's why we talk about wrath at Christmas, Christians. Even why it's critical for us to talk about it first. Because if we do not see our need for Jesus, we won't appreciate why he came at all. It's why we as Christians should think about these things and why we should speak about it to others also, especially in a world that tries so hard to deny sin and deny that they are guilty for anything. Because then we show why the gospel is such wonderfully good news and why Christmas is such a wonderful time. Because Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, has been born to forgive us our sins. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, though you are justly angry with us for our sins, forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, whom you have sent into the world to be our Savior, and to deliver us from the wrath to come. In his name we pray. Amen.